Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The business station.
This morning at 2 a.m. Malaysian time, the U.S. Fed announced a rate hike. We'll want to know, of course, what implications this has for the Malaysian ringgit. And to help us with that is Dr. Suresh Ramanathan, independent FX strategist, and he's on the line.
Good morning, Suresh. All right, so yes, as Sharad just mentioned, the Fed has just raised U.S. interest rates for the second time so far in 2017. Break it down for us. What does that mean for the ringgit?
The Fed owns roughly 35% of Treasury securities with maturities more than 10 years, which excludes T-bills and notes. Basically, the Fed holds less in the short end, so it basically needs to sell the long end and steepen the yield curve. What does this mean is the Fed is actually trying to reduce its balance sheet very quickly, and I believe that, you know, starting September is when they reduce the balance sheet itself, and then be another rate hike in December. But given that the projections on the growth numbers itself, those were quite impressive. GDP was increased to 2.2% based on the latest projection. Unemployment expected to reduce to 4.3%, so which naturally means that the American economy is sailing through very perfectly itself at this point in time. But what we could take away from yesterday's meeting was Janet Yellen trying to aggressively push up the idea of reduction of the balance sheet itself. So that means expect yield curve in the U.S. to, at least the whole tenure of the yield curve structure itself, to steepen quite aggressively. And that would mean, to a large extent, Malaysian yield curve also steepening in tandem with that itself. So you could expect some pressure on the ringgit to weaken, but I doubt that the ringgit weakens significantly from where it is now. So a lot of the pressure points will be absorbed by the Malaysian MGS market as well. That is actually likely to follow suit with the steepening of yield curve in the U.S.
And MGS being Malaysian government securities. Now, that's interesting because now while you say that pressure may alleviate on the ringgit, because according to conventional wisdom, you know, we should be seeing a weaker ringgit, right? Given that we have already seen 2 rate hikes since the start of the year, 3 if you include the one from December, right? Yet, I'm looking at some live data right now. The Malaysian ringgit has gained by about 5.25% against the US dollar, gaining over 5% despite those 3 rate hikes. So what's going on here? Why this discrepancy, so to speak?
I think to a large extent, what the Financial Market Committee in Bangara has done is they've actually opened up the hedging mechanism for Malaysian instruments itself. And that's why the ringgit has managed to do a lot more better. But at the same time, also, you notice that the weakening process in the ringgit has actually come to a point where it has hit the threshold level of almost 450. And then gradually from there, it has actually gained ground. Now, the key level for it to actually move next is actually what are the measures that Financial Market Committee introduces in the next few months to absorb a lot of the steepening of the yield curve in MGS as well as in U.S. Treasury yield curve itself. So if there's going to be proactive market-oriented measures introduced by the Financial Market Committee, I don't see the ringgit weakening significantly from these levels itself. As I said earlier, the shocks or the absorption of the steepening of the yield curve in the U.S. as well as the Fed rate hike are definitely going to be taken into by priced in by the local bond market. And that's why, as I said, the pressure point is moving away from the ringgit towards the bond market. So that's why you find the ringgit is actually more of a safe haven or literally actually isolating itself from the weakening process of the yield curve in the U.S. as well as in Malaysia.
Now, that's interesting that you raise the bond market because we have seen inflows, right, into the Malaysian bond space and also the equity space. How much do you think those inward fund flows would alleviate pressure on the local currency?
I think you could see gradually some reduction in flows into the bond market in the third quarter onwards. That's taking into account of 2 factors. One is holding U.S. treasuries and the market absorption of the balance sheet reduction by the Fed, which means actually most global banks and custodial banks in the U.S. will be actually forced to take into account of more U.S. treasuries in their holdings. That means a reduction in emerging market bonds holdings as well as actually some offloading of local bond papers as well in local markets. So which means that the inflows in the next few months, particularly in the third quarter, could be reduced. And that moves in tandem with the Fed's plan to reduce its balance sheet, which I believe will kick in September this year itself. So which means that I think the market is going to prepare itself to absorb more U.S. treasuries in the balance sheet from the Fed. And that moves in tandem with the September projections of actually a reduction in the balance sheet. But bear in mind that the key thing here is actually the Fed has indicated is that it's reducing its balance sheet at $6 billion a month for U.S. treasuries and $4 billion a month for mortgage-backed securities. That's a total of $10 billion a month. And this is going to be increased in the steps of $10 billion every 3 months in the world until it hits the threshold of $50 billion a month. So which means the market globally would be flooded with a lot more U.S. treasuries coming out of the Fed's balance sheet, so which naturally means the flows into emerging market bonds, even Malaysian bonds, could be reduced at a significant pace in the next few months. Whether this actually comes up to a question of actually weakening the ringgit, it's basically back towards the Financial Market Committee in managing the expectations of the ringgit movement, as well as liberalizing more measures on the ringgit hedging mechanism itself. Then, in that case, then you probably don't see the ringgit weakening very significantly on the back of that.
All right, so if I'm reading you correctly here, so it's a case of once the Fed actually winds down its balance sheet, you say September, you know, or possibly by year end, then we could see more, or we could see that trigger capital outflows out of EM emerging markets into, you know, and buying up those US treasuries, right? So, you know, you couple that with what we are seeing in Malaysia's foreign reserves right now. They have risen to $98 billion US dollars as of the end of May from the low 90s that we saw, you know, from a few months ago. So what does this signal to the markets then? Is this a sign of Bank Negara bracing for what may lie ahead, or as you suggest, you know, those anticipated capital outflows?
I think the key thing here to take into account is that the capital outflows in the third quarter that will occur would hit the bond market more significantly than actually affecting the ringgit itself. Because as much as actually we may assume that, you know, there's outflows and the ringgit weakens in tandem, it also comes down to the fact that actually whether Bank Negara has introduced more measures on the ringgit liberalization process as well as the hedging mechanism. And if you notice the last few months, what they've introduced is that they introduced a lot of hedging mechanism on the ringgit, whether it's inflow or buying of bonds or even outflow of hedging that outflow of funds itself. The ringgit has been able to actually be used as a mechanism to manage the hedging avenue itself. But the key thing here is if the Financial Market Committee continues to liberalize on the ringgit hedging mechanism, then you will notice the impact on the ringgit to weaken significantly from the outflow will be very limited going forward itself. Because the fact is actually, prior to this Financial Market Committee introducing that slew of measures, the ringgit was actually in a precarious position itself to absorb the hedging mechanism, even the outflow of funds. But now, actually, they've set up a lot of mechanisms actually for them to hedge themselves against that outflow itself. So naturally, you don't see that. But coming back into the question of actually reserves, 90 to 95 billion, even 98 billion, is still a strong buffer against any outflow. I'll be only concerned if reserves come down below 85. That's the threshold level which I'm looking at.
So in other words, as it stands, we've got, well, Bank Negara has got enough in its war chest to defend the ringgit and when looking at foreign reserves. Hey, Dr. Suresh Ramanathan, thank you so much for speaking to us here on The Morning Run. Again, that was Dr. Suresh Ramanathan is an independent FX strategist.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA NA.